Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm joined, as usual, by Tom and Melissa Gould.
Hi, Bob.
Well, how are you? You're popping out in the darkness, so you guys look great. Hope everything is going well.
Yes,
it is.
Everybody should know that this is the show that we do once a month where we invite your questions. You can call us with a question. A lot of people email us with a question. And it looks backwards to me. But if you wanted to call, and the number here is 888-627-6008. And, you know, you could maybe you just want to share something. You had a question. I'm not going to say that we have the answers, but we try. I got cue cards tonight. Really appreciate that. So we did get some questions in. A couple of people shared some stuff. And you know me well enough to know that I don't have any memory, so I can't tell you. I mean, I don't know if we finished the questions from last week. So if I read a question and it sounds familiar, just tell me we did it. So you know, so it's really getting scary when I get older. You know, I never had a good memory, but just recently somebody sent me their book, their second book, and they asked me to read it, and I read it, and then I said, would you like me to write a foreword for the book? And she said, yeah, I mean, can you write like forwards for both books? And I'm like, oh. Did I write a foreword for your first book? Yeah. I was like kind of mortified. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but anyways, one question that we have, how long do your memories stay with you after you die?
Oh, you mean when we move on to the next?
Yeah. Story? Well, like we say that personality survives, right? And at least some memories survive. So I guess the question is, well, for how long? You know, so I don't know. I guess, I mean, take me. My memories suck when I was alive. So I don't know how long my memories are going to last while I'm on the other side. But I think that it's fair to say that memories do stay with us for a long time, because we see it in the medium readings all the time, where, you know, sometimes it's been quite a long time, you know, many, many years have gone by, and then a medium does a reading and the person in spirit is conveying all of the, you know, personal information. So that's kind of evidence that the memories stay. And sometimes there are cases where mediums bring through or channel somebody that lived 100 years ago, and they bring through identifying information. So we don't really know, but you know, I think it's probably like us while we're here. It varies by person, right?
I would think probably. So.
You know, on the one hand, we have certainly gotten messages back from people who were infirmed in some way, couldn't walk or that sort of thing, and when they get to the other side, the first thing they send message back is, hey, I can dance again, I can move around. So, and people who've had near-death experiences say how vivid colors are, that you see clearer and more in depth. So I would have to think that even though our memories now are questionable, that we will have a better grasp when we get to the other side. How long it lasts, that I have no way of knowing.
So, seeming that's something for me to look forward to, like that, having a better memory when I'm dead than when
absolutely.
I'm
dead. And looking like you did in college.
Yeah.
But Tom, to your point, are you saying then, if they're saying now I can dance and walk, are you speaking about them having the memory of not being able to?
Well, sure. I guess they have the memory of where they were at the end of their lives. Certainly they thank people who took care of them at the end, so they knew what was going on before they passed. And then they pass, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, what a difference.
And I guess I took it more to be the kind of memory you have of something you had done with a loved one or a family member, some special moment or trip you had taken. But we don't know. It's fun to speculate, but we'll find out.
I mean, they say things like, oh, remember the wedding? I was there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you remember that.
That's true. Well, we tend to remember these, not necessarily like the milestone things, but the things that were particularly meaningful to us. Yeah. Could be something minor or insignificant. It seems insignificant, but it was very significant to us in our lifetime, so that probably stays with us. Let me read, you know, we're always, people lots of times tell us or write to us about experiences involving the radio, you know, and after-death communications. And we got this email, and the woman writes, you know, today is 3 years since Ray crossed over, so I hope this might make it onto the show this evening. Ray was a classical radio host. I listened to his show without fail for years, including 2 years before we met. We were together for 3 years when he left this world, and it was very difficult for me to even think of turning on the radio, especially a classical station. And she said, to be honest, it still is very difficult. And when I was in the car, I now rode in silence, probably for the first time in my life. A few weeks after he crossed, I went to pick up his ashes. Once retrieved, I got back into my car, and after driving a few blocks, I heard his voice say, turn on the radio, clear as day. I knew he meant to his station, of course, and I did turn it on. It was in the late afternoon, and it was the time his show typically aired. His friend Matt was filling in as host until they could find a replacement. At first, I was perplexed. It was a very upbeat song, no lyrics, played on the mandolin. It sounded Scottish or Irish. I thought, I'll listen to the end, but this seems like an odd, rather happy choice. At the song's conclusion, Matt came on. He said the title of that song is The Joy of Living, but it's a bit deceiving. The song is actually about a man saying goodbye to all the things he loved before he dies. Matt read a few of the lyrics and knew immediately why Ray sent it. And to come through on the radio, he loved his work passionately, and radio was how we met. I went home, carefully setting Ray's ashes next to me, and looked up the lyrics. The song is by an English folk singer and had been covered by another classical mandolinist. Is that how you say it, mandolinist? All the lyrics are beautiful, but I believe that this stanza is what was meant for me. Farewell to you, my love. My time is almost done. Lie in my arms once more until the darkness comes. You filled all my days, held the night at bay, dearest companion. Years pass by and they're gone with the speed of birds in flight. Our lives like the verse of a song heard in the mountains. Give me your hand and love and join your voice with mine. We'll sing to the hurt and the pain and the joy of living.
Wow. Wow.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Don't you just love when things like that happen?
Absolutely.
The thing I like most about it, well, maybe not the most, but what's very significant to me is you get a voice in your head and you think, well, am I just thinking that or is somebody actually saying? So to follow what the voice said and then have it be so significant tells you that it was a voice and not you thinking it.
Yep. Let's take a caller. After that, we have Lisa from New Jersey. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, everybody. Great to hear you and hear the stories. That last one was very poignant, and thank you for sharing it. It was excellent. I think many people have these moments, and they may discount them, like you said. You know, it's not really that I really hear that person say that, but I love that synchronicity. It was absolutely well written, as well as, you know, you read it beautifully. I would just like to share something. I had an experience. People come to me. You know, I don't ask them, and they just kind of come to me and let it go. And haven't really been doing it. Had a loss of a guide dog that was traumatic, and from a young, you know, relatively young. And so I just kind of been turned off and processing. And my cousin had called me. A cousin I met through ancestry.com because I didn't know we had an adopted second cousin out there. And she calls me up, and she knows I do this, and she says, "Oh, my friend's father passed away, and she's really upset." And I told her what you do, and she said she'd like to do a reading. And they live in another state, and they were going to come up to see me. And, you know, she'd really like to see you. But I got the clear message. You know, I didn't, you know, I'm open, just a conduit. And the mother had said to me, "No, she needs to work on herself. She doesn't want, she doesn't really want to talk to me. She just can't process it herself, basically, you know. And that this is something she needs to do, and he's not ready. It's not that he wasn't ready to communicate with her. It's that she wasn't ready to communicate with him," which I thought was very interesting because, you know, everything is all, you know, things are always different and no two things are alike. And I shared this with my cousin and all, and then she calls me up and she wants to come up again and she wants to bring this woman. And I said, you know, I make no guarantees about anything. It's if he has something he wants to share. And I said, she doesn't need to come and see me personally. We can do it over the phone. If he comes, he comes. If he doesn't, he doesn't. So I haven't heard back yet. But I just thought it was so interesting how it was her process, and she's like trying to latch on to him for answers and all when it needs to come from within her. So okay. I'd like your opinions on that.
That's something.
That actually explains quite a lot, because we get people asking, you know, how come, you know, I want to get something, but I'm not getting it. And you've sort of made an example that they'll come when you're ready, kind of thing.
Yes, well said.
Yeah. What do you think, Bob?
I think you're right on the money with what you said. I mean, that we don't know. As Tom mentioned, we hear it more often than any other question, you know, why am I not getting, you know, more communications? And a lot of people don't really accept the answer saying that, you know, you'll get it when you're ready, because they don't know when they're ready, right? Like, what do I have to do to get ready, you know? But it's, you know, we're thinking in human terms, but we don't see it the same way as a discarnate does in the spirit world. But somehow it comes together. And
I'd like to ask you, Lisa, is this ongoing right now? You're talking about something that's happening as we speak, basically? Or yes. Or has she come to any more development?
No. They want to come up to see me. Uh-huh. That's the last I spoke to my cousin. I was away. So, and I had some cool experiences. I went to New Zealand, and I had some I'm still processing about. It was, I'm telling you. You know, when, like, I didn't, what you just said, you told me when my guide dog passed away, because I wanted to hear from him, and I wanted to connect with people who have spoken to me before, my family and my friends, and I haven't heard from them, and you all told me, you know, that, you know, just, they're not, you know, this. It was basically, I have to do the work. It's what I have. So I didn't need to hear from them. I didn't need, it's funny, I didn't realize that until you were responding. Is that basically it's that they're not coming to me because I have to do my work. It's my work I have to do. And it's for me to do. And then, you know, so I and you all helped me for that. So I would also like to thank you for that. I didn't even realize that when I started telling the story. And it really helped me because then it just focused on me. And then I went to New Zealand for 5 weeks, and it was just some magical stuff happening. And a friend I had asked, you had taught me to ask for specific signs. And, you know, for a friend who passed away, was very, very close with my soul sister, asked for butterflies and rainbows. And I don't see well. I'm visually impaired peripherally. And I saw more butterflies that would come across to me. And I was just like, oh, thank you. Hey, how you doing? And I saw one. There was two rainbows. I could only catch one. And it was just like magical. And just things synchronicity-wise. And I just smile and go, yes, yes. You know, it's to say yes to these moments. It was very, very exciting. It's like a song, like you said. You know, we always talk about things like this. You know, walked into a store, it's like a song, and then magic, 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 this connection, that connection. It's like, oh, my gosh. And the weather, too. It's like all my people on the other side said, give her the best weather that you could possibly give her.
All right, we had a lot of help. Lisa, thanks for calling in and sharing with us.
That was beautiful.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
You all are very beautiful yourself. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Be well.
Yeah.
So here's a question that came in. Assuming that extraterrestrials exist, when they die, do they go to the same afterlife as we do?
Well, remember, they're going to. They're just in another energetic form that they're already probably inhabiting.
Well, yeah. You know, it raises an interesting question that I've discussed with people before. You know, are there different afterlives? You know, I've had mediums tell me that that it's only like the afterlife that our loved ones go to is only the afterlife for people that were once on Earth. You know, we have our own afterlife, and somebody that lives on another planet might have their own alien afterlife,
right.
And the two don't really mix. I don't know what to make of that. You know, I've had meetings say that the people in our afterlife are very protective of their afterlife. You know, how do we really know?
A couple of things here. It's all in the vernacular. That we have to get away from. Number one is you're not going anywhere. There isn't another place. This solar system, the universe, is one thing. And that's one misnomer, is that you're not going. You're just, your vibration is leaving. You're shedding this slow vibrating body, and you're becoming pure energy. So you're, and that's why when a medium gives a reading and says, well, I can see he's standing right behind you. Well, that's where he is, right behind you. If you're pure energy, you don't have to be standing anywhere. You can be, my father tells me, it's like a jet plane. You can go anywhere you want in seconds. So that's one thing to get off. And then the second misnomer is afterlife. There is no afterlife. It's all life. We are living an eternal existence. We come here in the physical for a while, and then we become energy again. It's the same life. It's the same life.
But we need a distinction when we talk about it to know what we're talking about.
Well, I agree there.
But even if we call it a dimension instead, and we move on to this other dimension, you know, is there some sort of a consciousness resonance that's different, let's say, with people that were human or pets or alien beings? You know, I mean, we think that pets go to, you know, when I say again, pets will enter the same dimension as we do, right? Because they come through in readings. But I don't know how there would be. The concept is so overwhelming that there would be different dimensions, unlimited number of dimensions, each with its own synchronicities where people travel to after they shed physical bodies. Now, we may be the only people in the universe that have physical bodies, right? I mean, maybe the universe is probably teeming with other beings But the bodies are just associated with human life. But they, like an alien might think that that's ridiculous. Like, you don't need a body because you're an entity of thought, just like we are in the dimension that we go after this. It's kind of a interesting concept, but I guess we'll find out. I know that mediums have told me that they have communicated with extraterrestrials on a consciousness level. And I've even heard it said that people in what we term the afterlife, you know, where we go, also communicate telepathically with extraterrestrial, you know, life. So there's, you know, we seem to see more and more evidence that that stuff is real, you know. It's like, you know, so it'll be interesting to find out. I think there's a greater openness in the past few years, you know, towards investigating these things. So I hope in my lifetime we find out, you know, because it's...
I hope so. Well, we'll get there and there.
Right.
We'll get here and then we'll know. So
here's a question you'll smile at. If I give a medium a phony name when setting up a reading, would that affect the connections they make for me?
We have somebody who could answer that who does this quite often, and we should find out if that individual feels that the information they've been given is altered.
We need a reliable source.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, but I think that the quick answer was that it shouldn't make any difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's
a good possibility that in the reading, the spirit will chuckle about it and mention it to the
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And the reason Melissa was snickering at this is because there are a lot of people, and I can't really fault them for it. I've done it once myself, you know, when you want to make sure that you can totally trust the information. You don't want the medium to be able to identify you in any way. So they make up a different name so that, you know, that you can't be researched. I think you kind of feel guilty about it when you're doing it. And a lot of people won't do it because in their mind, they think that that's going to affect the reading and the medium won't connect, but it really doesn't.
You know, the skeptics that we've encountered, 90% of them say, well, you make the appointment and then they Google you. And when you show up, they're giving you all the stuff they found. So if you give the wrong name, they're not going to find you in a Google.
Right.
So I think that's
not a bad thing to do at all.
Yeah, that's...
No, you know, and mediumship research involves, you know, blinded protocols. So, you know, there's a proxy sitter for the real sitter. So that's taking it to an extreme. And yet, right, you know, the mediumship evidence still comes through. So if you feel like doing that... I never had a reading with a Fervor Family Foundation certified medium because they know too much about me. But I did have a reading once with an international medium, and I only gave the name Bob. I felt safe with that because there's God knows how many millions of Bobs there are in the world. And I had a third party pay for the reading, you know, with her using her PayPal account. So there was no trace back to me. That's what I needed. I'm not suggesting anybody go to those lengths. But yeah, as Tom mentioned, there's really, when you think about it, in today's day and age, it's not an unusual precaution, right?
Right.
There's a question that came in. When do you stop reincarnating?
When you get it right.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Buddhists would certainly agree with that one. But I think I've also heard that it's a choice. If you've lived a good life, it's a choice. Apparently, I've also heard that if you got it wrong while you're here and did not purport yourself the way you should, you may be sent back. But I think for most cases, you've lived a good life, you've finished your life, and now you're in the other dimension, and well, I had a good time. I want to go back again. And you go back again. I think it's as easy as that.
Yeah. What I thought was interesting is that uniformly, I would say like 100% of the mediums that I've talked to, which are basically, you know, Forever Family Foundation mediums, they all say that we, you know, every one of us reincarnates. You know, a lot of them don't. I mean, some are open to the possibility it's a choice, but the vast majority said that it's just a continuous process of reincarnation until we complete, you know, like you said, Melissa, you know, complete our learning and fulfill our oversoul, and we're ready. We no longer have a need for this physical experience. And
I was going to say, Bob, also thinking about our retreats coming up, I believe we have Jake Cooper, who does past life regressions, and it will be interesting thinking about this to ask him if he ever has somebody wanting a past life regression, and he has to say, there is no, I'm not getting any past lives for you. Or even like a Brian, is it Brian Weiss, who has become quite well known for this? It would be interesting to ask these fellows, did that ever happen, that you can't come up with a past life?
Right. You know, and then the other question that comes up is, if we've all had these previous lives, you know, why is it that the mediums never bring through one of our past lives instead of our most recent life? And there's probably a lot of good reasons for that. I mean, one, if we don't remember our past life, how would we verify any of the information?
Right.
That's a good point.
You know, and the other question that you brought up, past life regression, is communication possible with somebody that's in between lives?
Right.
These are all.
I say yes to that one, because when you're having a medium reading, they're not here, so they're there, but you're saying that everybody reincarnates, so eventually they'll be back, so they're between reincarnations. So,
that's true. Right.
So of course you can. And and one other thing that you said, that you know, you keep coming back until you've learned what you learned, suggests that, well, there is an end point where you don't reincarnate. It's not keep coming back over and over again. Boy, it'd be like Sisyphus.
Yeah, right. There definitely has to be an end point. It's the same concept when we talk about progression and learning in what we call the afterlife, right? So at what point do you stop advancing? Do you reach a certain level where that's it? You know, you're just totally enlightened being, you know. So and of course, there would be no, once you reach that level, reincarnation, you know, would be silly, right? So it gets even more complicated. So then you have the parallel universe theory, that all of us, there are many versions of us that exist in many different dimensions all at the same time.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, so then, you know, was the mediums pick up Melissa from a different dimension? You know, but the Melissa in another dimension doesn't have the same education and cultural backgrounds and parents. It's a totally different.
Right.
Have to be a totally different Melissa, a totally different personality. Although my guess is that you still bake. But
I will. And, you know, it gives us hope for this radio program, because we're never going to have all the answers. So we can keep meeting like this until we just aren't physically able to.
Yeah, it's fun to think about it. Well, you think about it too much, you have to take an aspirin.
Or a drink.
Oh, well.
A drink of tea.
Yeah, tea for the television.
So here was a question that came in. I understand that mediums who do not specialize in communicating with pets may not receive the signals, just as some pet communicators may not receive communications from formerly human spirits. Am I correct to assert that? Yeah, I think you are, you know, because there are a lot of mediums. The first thing they'll say is, look, I'm sorry, but I don't get pets. You know, I you know, just not my, within my abilities. And then there are people that call themselves pet communicators when pet mediums, and they say that they have no ability to communicate with spirits. So again, there may be two different, hate to call them skill sets, but two different skill sets there. Same principle that you know, there are some great mediums that are only average or below average when it comes to getting psychic information from the living, right? So, and there are some great psychics that can tell you every move that's going to happen, supposedly, but they have no ability to communicate with the deceased. So I guess that's the thing
about psychics, Bob. I don't follow, you know, much information about psychics. But have there been people in your experience that have ever said to you, oh, a psychic told me this, this, and this, and all of it happened?
Yeah, I'm constantly. Hey, look, you know, it's easy. The problem with a psychic is that they give you the information and you have no way of knowing if that, you know, if that information is truthful or not until time goes by, and then you can figure it might be 2, 3, 10, 20 years from now. So they're never, you can never say they're wrong. Yeah. With a medium, you could validate the evidence, right? You know, it's yes or no. But with a psychic, and we've talked about this so many times, there's so many people, they live their lives by psychics, you know, these psychic hotlines, and they spend fortunes of money and they base their life decisions. They don't do anything without consulting a psychic. And, you know, we've talked about this so many times that there is so many, the future is not set in stone. There's our free will, the free will of everybody else around us. There are many forks in the road. The psychics may be seeing, yeah, one possibility out of many, many different possibilities. So I would always caution people to be cautious, you know, about making any life-changing decisions based upon information that you get from a psychic.
True, and paying them a lot of money for it, too.
Yeah. Let's take another call. We have Dusty from California. Hello, hey. Dusty.
Hi, can you hear me?
I'm here.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. This is the first time I've been able to find you live, and I'm just so happy to find my peeps. I love you all. I do. And so I got a couple of comments, and I have so many experiences, but I won't go into all of them, okay? But I like the term changing worlds. And I heard rather than the afterlife or this or that, and I didn't make that one up. It was from Mark Pitstick. Are you familiar with his website and stuff, Soulproof?
No. Oh, I'm not. Repeat that again. What's the name of his website?
Soul, like, you know, a spirit or a soul, Proof.
Oh, yes.
Y'all got to check him out. I mean, a lot of this stuff is free, and, like, you'll just, and especially stuff for grieving parents like myself, and just a lot of cool stuff, and that's kind of about, like, where we're at with this, what we're talking about, you know, proof of changing worlds is the way I'd put it.
Yeah, changing worlds is a good term.
Yeah.
And you got the website okay, right? Soul Proof?
Yes, thank you for that. I'll look it up.
Sure. And I'm not being paid to say that or anything. but I also thought, because I've been looking into this kind of stuff since I was a little kid, and that's been long, and even longer time ago. And just had so many important people to me, I'll put it this way, change worlds, since well, since I was a little kid, including my parents and all my grown-ups. That sounds funny because I'm way past being a grown-up and all that kind of stuff. But then when it happened with my son, it was a whole different level, and I know that at least some of you would understand that, and none of us do understand it until it happens to us.
Right.
So, and I've been trained with the hospice and all kind of stuff. But so, let me see here, because now I thought I'd give you a couple of my examples. So, and let me say also that my understanding and having studied and had my own experiences and stuff is that there really isn't any time in the other worlds.
Right.
Kind of like
yes.
we dream, and all of a sudden, you know, when we're asleep and dreaming, and like it can seem like 100 years went by, but it was just a night's sleep, you know, that kind of thing. Something
yes.
like that. And I also thought that because we get so many descriptions sometimes about how it is over there, or here, whatever you want to call it, that I think it's kind of like, you know, that thing about like less blind people, I really mean that, them like giving their description of an elephant. And one's holding the tail, one's got a leg, you know, one's got the trunk, and it's like, oh, it's going back and forth. That's the one talking about the, you know, the tail, and oh, the this thing is like a hose, you know, the trunk. So, or like if somebody was trying to describe our Earth, you know, well, it's really cold up there, and oh, it's really hot down there, and you know, these plants grow there, and those plants don't grow here. So it's just so different, you know.
Yes.
And something that I wonder about, and I do just pray and wish for a peaceful death for everybody and everything, and I hope that the various spiders, because my place is kind of infested with spiders, it's not an
overstatement.
And I keep saying, don't come in here, you know, please just, you know, stay outside. But I'm hoping that there aren't any spiders, you know, when I change worlds, because I didn't mean them to be mean to him. But here's a couple of, and I don't mean to monologue, but I'm trying to be quick because I figure you have other callers or something. So after my dear son crossed over and he died in a fire, burnt beyond recognition, it was
aww.
Really awful. And it took me a long time to sort of make friends with fire again. And the more you get to know me, I'm a more unusual person.
Desi, can I interrupt and ask you to give us the name of your son?
Thank you. His name is Chris.
Oh, good. I'd like to think about Chris as we talk about him.
Thank you. I always feel like our people, you know, in those other worlds, they're all gathering together, getting to know each other as we talk
yes.
about
yes.
each of them. And well, one of the things that I've noticed is that people, when I'm like really desperate for some help or something, it's always somebody named Chris who comes through. And when he first crossed over, I kept seeing so many people that looked like him. And I finally realized, because it was kind of painful and kind of good. I mean, I used to try not to stalk them, but follow them, you know. But it was just, and he told me, Mom, that's just my way of letting you know that I'm still here, you know.
Exactly.
So,
oh.
yeah. And so one time, closer to when he crossed over, I went on one of my other daughter's school field trip or something, you know. And so we were in this, so I was like one of the, you know, people looking after the kids and all that kind of stuff. I was class parent back then. And I'm a drowner, not a swimmer, having drowned in a couple of, I mean, past lives and things. I won't, because I unexpectedly got regressed. I wasn't expecting that, and this stuff came through. And actually, I'll add that, I don't want to take up too much time, but the past life that, see, I wasn't even planning on doing that. Okay, I was going to see this woman, and I'm a musician, and I was thinking, oh, I know she represents a number of other professional musicians, and I really like where she's at. You know, I'm aligned with her, you know, kind of good ways of being, and so I made an appointment with her, and then it turns out she thought I was making an appointment for a hypnotherapy thing, because she wasn't doing the music thing anymore. So I said, oh, sure, yeah, sure, I'll go for that. And she regressed me back to, I'm going to try to make this quick. Oh, let me say, she didn't know I had carpal tunnel syndrome and that I had no reason to even have carpal tunnel syndrome back then. Mm-hmm. She regressed me to a former life where I was being persecuted as a witch. Mm-hmm. And there was a test back then, and this is a longer agreement, but I'm giving you just the basics, of kind of basically tying your wrists and your feet. So if you didn't know how to swim, you couldn't. And they'd put you in the water, and if you drowned, that meant you were innocent. And if you floated, then they'd burn you at the stake or something. So I was one of the ones, so my hands were bound, my feet were bound, my wrists were bound, I mean, you know. And when I came out of that, she didn't even know anything about this. The woman doing the hypnosis thing, the regression. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the carpal tunnel syndrome anymore.
Oh, my.
So what? I related, well, you guys are getting it, you know. And then when I was on that field trip with my younger daughter's class, I was sitting in the middle of this shallow part of the stream while they were all swimming in the deeper parts, keeping an eye on them. Uh-huh. And it must have been, because I don't remember the exact number, but it was more than 12 butterflies came and sat on me.
On you?
Yeah, and I didn't have anything colorful on. And I said to the parent and the child who's used to go there all the time, you know, we went to this place where they had a vacation rental or something like that. I don't remember. But they said, no, it's never happened before. And I just knew it was a sign for my son.
Yes.
Oh, that's lovely.
Now, here's a more unusual one. Do you have time?
Quick, because we do have some other callers. But
okay, yeah, and I have to be on another Zoom at 6. But so I'm on the West Coast. I grew up on the East Coast. And my mother died when I was 9. My father died when I was 16. And there was nobody to help and all this stuff. And so anyway, they were buried in New Jersey. And I hadn't been back there in a long time. Let me make this quicker. So whatever. But anyway, I made some, I won't go into the details. I, for the first time, and I don't even know how many decades, I was at my parents' grave in New Jersey. And of course, I was sort of, I was trying to tune into them, and my son had already crossed over. They, my kids never met my parents, you know, they all died before my kids were born. But so I was thinking, you know, about my parents. And then all of a sudden, I heard my son say to me, Mom, and remember, I'm a musician. He said, Mom, go home, record at this particular person's recording studio, who's kind of well known and stuff. He's crossed over now, though. But he said, "Record your women's history song." And the, one of the reasons I know that it's really him is because he would have never said that. Okay, and I hadn't even thought of that song. This is probably like, I mean, since like 1978 when I recorded it, and and this was like after 2001. So, and he was not into my kind of music, okay? So he would have never said, go record that song. I hadn't thought of it in, you know, more than 30 years, I think. I'm not doing the math now. But so I did do as he directed. And since then, that song has since been documented as the very first song written in contemporary times, celebrating women's history, and it has opened a lot of doors for me. And I hope you do celebrate women's history, because it's this month, and I played a part in getting it all started. So that was just amazing to me. Thank you. Love y'all.
Good for you. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for sharing all that, Dusty. Take care.
You're welcome. I love you all. Take care. Bye-bye.
Love you.
Enjoy Women's History Month.
Yes.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Love that. Bye. All right, do have another call. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but Amel from Ohio.
Yes, I'm here.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking the call. So I had some questions. Some of them. Well, let me ask you the first question is. So when the person crosses over, you know, he's on the other side now, do they remember only this immediate past life, or do they remember all their previous lives?
Well, that's a good question, and we touched upon that, you know, earlier. So they, my understanding is that the memories that they take with them when they go to the other side are just from the life that they just lived before they crossed over. That the same way that when people reincarnate here, they don't necessarily have memories that go back to, you know, previous incarnations. The same thing may apply to when they go to the next place, to the next world, where they do have memories, and they convey those memories through mediums or directly when they can. as evidence to let their loved ones know that they still exist. But I don't think that you have knowledge of all of your past lives until it's time to stop reincarnating. You've accumulated all the experiences, learned everything that you needed to learn. And at that point, of course, it's just speculation. I think you have complete recall of all of the past lives. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and if Fran were here, I'm sure we would be bringing up the Seth Speaks. There's a series of books and tapes of a person named Seth, who was on the other side, channeling information back through a couple that were documenting all of this. And Bob touched on this earlier, too, that your soul is kind of like an octopus, and you can have a tentacle, and at the end of that tentacle is you living here now, but you have other tentacles, and another tentacle could be you living in the 17th century, or you living in the 520. So I think the soul that's at the core of your being must have some kind of knowledge of all of your tentacles and where you're going. I think that's true. And then, Bob, you said when you come in, if you reincarnate and you come into this life, you don't remember the past life. And yet, we have a doctor friend, Jim Tucker, who has found people who as children do remember their past life and can give you information about the life that they came from.
Yeah, you definitely remember the previous incarnation, but not reincarnations going back further than that.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
I have heard some cases where, you know, they remembered many lives before. Now, in fact, I met one guy, and he told me he remembered, he had some kind of episode one time, and then he all of a sudden he remembered his life in the medieval era when he was living in the medieval era, and you know he remembered that he murdered his wife. He told me. So that's why the question came to mind. The other question I had was about the mediums. When they do a reading, do they get the information only when the soul speaks to them, or can they just get information even if soul doesn't say anything?
Well, the mediums will tell you that they can't summon anybody from the spirit world to come. So they open themselves up as a channel. They invite people from the spirit world to use them as a conduit, you know, to come through, and whatever comes through, you know, comes through. You know, it's, don't forget with mediumship, it's not like a telephone. You know, there's three parties involved, and everything has to match. There has to be a resonance between, you know, the person in spirit, the medium, and the sitter, the person getting the reading. And if something disrupts that circuit, so to speak, I mean, it doesn't happen. And then, of course, you know, there are mediums, and then there are mediums, and, you know, not all mediums have the same degree of proficiency, you know, so. But, I mean, I wish it was as easy as, you know, with a medium could just say, I want to talk to so-and-so and dial them up, but it just, you know, it doesn't quite work that way.
Yeah. And the last question I had was, so, as the time passes, when somebody crosses over, as the time passes, does that soul become more adept at communicating with the mediums? Becomes better at communicating with them, or is it same?
Well, my opinion is that it's a learning process. So even though there are many cases of people communicating right after they leave this world, communicating with this physical world, I think that for most people, you know, first of all, you may not even believe in life after death, and you find yourself suddenly still alive. So that's kind of a shock to get used to. And then you have to figure out, okay, I really want to let my loved ones know that I'm still alive, but, you know, how do I do that? So I think that there's help on the other side that may, you can call on mediums on the other side, you know, that help other souls to get through. And so I think there is a learning process, but most communications do take place using our time frame, you know, in the year or two or three after the soul passes. The communications tend to get less as time as we know it goes on. And maybe that's just because the souls have a lot of stuff to do. And they realize that letting you know that they still exist is no longer that important. You already know that. So, and they're going to see you in the blink of an eye again. So maybe there's a lot of reasons for that.
Yeah, I think that's true, that they become more proficient on the other side. But as Bob says, the more time passes, they realize that there are other things. Or as Lisa pointed in the earlier caller, they understand more later on that you need to live your own life and that they shouldn't necessarily be getting too involved. And as Bob says, as soon as they pass, the first thing they want to do is tell their loved ones, you know, don't be sad. I'm still okay. You know, we will be together again. So they do want to get that message back, and they do. But once you get the message from them that they are okay, they still exist, we will see them again, your love for them and their love for you has not changed, and then it's up to you from then on in. And again, we're talking about an eternal soul that lives for thousands of years, and then as opposed to a physical being that lives for maybe 80, 90, 100 years, and that's it. 80, 90, 100 years compared to eternity is very, very little. And it'll be over for all of us before we know it.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for all those questions. And I hope your friend didn't get any ideas when he remembered that he murdered his wife 500 years ago. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Bye bye. That must be frightening, huh?
Yeah. Certainly for his wife.
I don't think he told her that, if that remembers. Oh,
that's funny.
Yeah, there was a question that came in. Do people have a better chance of communicating with deceased family as opposed to non-family? We say yes, you know, because there's a love bond, you know, and a connection that you had, which, you know, plays into it. Plus the fact that your family loved ones are the ones that are really going to be trying to get through to you. But that doesn't mean that others are not going to, you're not going to get communications from people that you didn't know that well, right? We see that all the time.
We have heard in some of the group readings, I recall a case, many, many, many years ago, one of the events that Forever Family Foundation hosted, and a gentleman came through to someone who, I don't remember the details, but a coworker of somebody, and this person knew, here's someone I can get my message through to my loved one. So the person getting the message wasn't a family member of hers, but she was able to identify him when he gave the circumstances of his passing. Do you recall that, Bob? I know your memory's poor, but it was a construction worker. It was an unusual situation where somebody had died on a construction project in the city, and you know, that's kind of striking the description.
Yeah, I think that was my neighbor.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, I mean, that is your family getting through directly, you know, getting through to you.
Yeah.
Just being inventive, right? Just
right.
Being the third
right.
body. But yeah. The message and the love was meant for you.
The first dream visitation I can remember getting was from my friend Carl, who was my first percussionist that I worked with in a band. And, you know, we were very close. And when he passed, he was fairly young at the time. But he came through in a dream. So I think what you hit on it when you said the love connection mm-hmm. with family. Well, sometimes you have just as strong love, if not more, for your close acquaintances than
right.
you do with family, and they will come through.
Well, we've reached the end. That flew by. So let's read our quickly a global peace prayer. Let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment.
And now it's time for me to remind everybody that our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to acknowledge it someday.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.